Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 8:04 on the clock on this November 16th, 2022, and you know what that means. It is our WFHR Radiothon featuring the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. We're having fun with that. Terry Johns is with us, and right now joining us from the Weather Eye Weather Center, our good friend Paul Trombley. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, good morning here from the snow globe.
Yes, it's just a snow globe.
Fine by me. Right, yeah. I ordered it, so.
Yeah, thank you for making my co-host happy, Todd. I really appreciate that. So what is the Mother Nature looking like today, Paul?
Yeah, it looks like just kind of this continuation of some on and off light snow and flurry activity the next couple of days. Small accumulations each period, so nothing that's going to amount to much, but otherwise just kind of keeping things going with that here. Through the end of the week, as we do stay with some light snow and flurry activity today. Highs about 33. Tonight, 21, some flurries and snow showers, and then mid-20s on Thursday, some more that flurry and snow shower activity. Thursday night, lows at 16, and still the clouds and the flurries and snow showers, even Friday into Saturday, a little bit of that yet. Just getting a little bit colder through the end of the week. 22 for Friday's highs, 9 above Friday night, and still on the breezier side into Saturday, 20 degrees, some flurries, and cloudy, 4 above Saturday night, 22 with some sunny breaks possible by Sunday into Monday, and looks like some highs skip to about 30 Monday, more into the 30s Tuesday as we start to thaw things out a bit more midweek coming up here. But yeah, definitely settled into winter with the light snow and these cold temps into the weekend.
Hey, the hunters in my house aren't really going to like you. It's a little cold.
We appreciate it, as always, Paul. Thanks so much for joining us. Looking forward to talking tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. You guys have a good one.
You too. Take care. Best in the business right there, friend Paul Trombley and the gang at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Appreciate them. Appreciate all of you joining us as for our Radiothon continues on. Terry, want to remind people that you can invest in your community. You can donate at 715-421-0390. That's 421-0390. The guests just keep rolling in, Terry.
That's right. So our next guest this morning is Katie Schumer from North Central Community Action Program. So we're going to start by having Katie just give it an overview of kind of what North Central Community Action does in the community. And then, you know, we can get specific about the United Way grant, but maybe just a little bit of an overview in general so that people get to know the organization a little.
Yeah, so North Central CAP has a couple different programs. We have housing, so emergency housing assistance, crisis funding for housing situations, and then we have our weatherization program, which isn't necessarily funded by United Way, but a big program that we operate out of our office. So that provides energy assistance to homes. So if you have electric heat, they can help, you know, make that gas heat, which is more cost effective. They can help with insulation. They can help with those types of things to make your home more energy efficient, which then lowers your energy costs. And then we have crisis funding for emergency housing situations, homelessness, those types of things. That's the big funder from United Way and helping us to keep people in their homes.
So tell us about that. What's happening with Tell us about emergency rental assistance and housing and what's happening in our community.
Housing is crazy. I don't really know how else to put that. I, on average right now, am seeing 8 to 10 households a day, which is a drastic increase. I think last year we had, you know, projected that we'd serve about 800 individuals for the entire year. We're over 1,200, a little over 400 households that have requested assistance, and that's just in Southwood County alone. So that's not the entire Wood County area. So you're talking, you know, Wisconsin Rapids, Port Edwards, Nakusa, Grand Rapids, just the small local area here in Southwood County. That's a drastic number, an increase, and I think will continue to increase. We can talk about, you know, cost of living increases. We can talk about housing. Just rental prices have drastically increased over the last year. A big thing in the state has been the WERA program, or the Wisconsin Emergency Rental Assistance Program, which.
And that came out of kind of came out of COVID, right?
Pandemic funding. Pandemic funding. So that has been in place for almost 2 years. Statewide, $420 million spent out of that program in non-entitlement areas. So if you take Milwaukee, Dane, Racine, and Brown County out of that, $240 million in non-entitlement areas. So that's a large amount of money, right? Our homeless numbers are larger than they've ever been, which is crazy enough. So we threw a whole bunch of money at it. and yet we can't keep people in their housing for many different reasons. So, you know, you can talk about just increase in cost of living. We all know it, right? You go to the grocery store and groceries are higher. You go to put gas in your car, gas is higher. Your electric bills, your gas bills, everything has drastically increased in price, which affects your housing. And so while there's rental assistance and there's energy assistance, there's so many other things for families that live in poverty that are struggling to be able to pay and keep their housing.
Katie, how long have you been doing this?
5 years.
Okay. thank you for that, by the way. Thank you for doing it. And, boy, I felt every year, every day of that when you said 5 years.
Well,
I thought this job takes something in, takes something out of you as much as you
imagine
rewarding this.
Think about that load. I mean, seeing 10, 12 families a day. I mean, that's a lot, you know, trying to capacity-wise. I think trying to – and then the being the navigator, right? Like trying to help people and sometimes I'm assuming, well, everyone wants help, but perhaps maybe not everyone wants to do all of the work to get, you know what I'm saying? It's not just easy, right? Like a person, an individual or family presents to you, it's not just do this and it's done.
I'll say this, there's
work to it.
I come from this world. I come from the poor world. I grew up poor. I understand what that's like. I understand it better than most. And I'll tell you, there is nobody who wants to be poor. There is nobody who is working to stay poor. Or, you know what? It's so much easier to just take this. I can just sit back. This theory, this idea that exists out there of the American citizen that does not want to work or that does not want to. Have you been in our country? Have you met any other fellow Americans? That doesn't exist. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't outliers there of everything, but the majority of people, especially here in the Midwest, we've talked about this already, Terry, the pride that we have in ourselves, our self-worth. That means a lot to us. It means a little something more here than it does in other parts of the country. You take away a person's identity, which is so much of our job. We tie so much of our jobs to our identity. Or even if they have a job, they're not making a big income. And all of a sudden, you're not keeping up with the Joneses and these things and everything. All that stuff just adds on and on and on and pulling a person back and a lot of their mental health down. When you get that help, When you have somebody who treats you with respect and you get a hand up, not a hand out, the where you can go in life and how you can impact your community, how you can help your community, it cannot be like taken lightly. People don't start and end here. I mentioned my family for a reason. My parents, I couldn't think of a rougher situation that they were in, and then they moved to a completely different part of the country and everything in here and stuff, which is only 4 hours away, but it might as well be on the other part of the world. And they have no connections, no family. My mom and dad have owned their own house for over 20 years. They're both retired now. Both have a nice 401k. Both were able to get on their feet. Their children are doing well. They got a help up, and look what they've been able to do with that. And that's one family, one example. There's plenty of other ones out there. So I think that there's this stigma that still exists. It was there when I was a little kid, and it's still here today, of the person who thinks that there are people out there who don't want to work, who don't want to contribute, who don't want to add to their family or help their family. I can't imagine. There's enough to deal with already in this subject matter. Katie, I can't imagine what it's like dealing with that as well, as you've got the naysayers out there, the people that think differently than this.
I say all the time, like, there's so many positive and negatives, right? Like, and the positives outweigh the negatives when you look at it. I mean, you have, yes, you're going to have those people that are looking for a handout, not a handout up. They don't want, you know, case management. They don't want anybody to help them. They don't want any of that. They just want the funding and they want to go away. And then you have people that come in and they're like, I don't know what to do. I've never been in this situation before. And to walk that journey with them and see the positive outcomes that come along with it, that's what keeps us doing what we do every single day. And there's so many more of them than there are. I mean, you see things all the time, like there's no help for the homeless. There's nobody that's doing anything. And that's not true. I mean, you can only help somebody who wants to be helped, right? And United Way funding allows for case management. It's not just paying somebody's rental payment. It's walking that path with them. Let's get them connected to services. I had somebody in my office yesterday who has their children living with them that's not connected to food share, not connected to Badger Care, not receiving resources, but's unable to pay their rent. So the conversation of, if you're utilizing these programs that you need, you wouldn't be coming in to see me, right?
Right. If you took the help with food, you would be able to cover that rent.
Mm-hmm. And they were embarrassed and they didn't want to talk about it. And so it was a conversation of, these aren't ongoing programs. We're not meant to be here all the time. We're not meant to, get involved in your personal business and what you have going on. But this is what's available to you. This is what can help you. Let's get you connected to these. And so it was more of a conversation of, yes, they needed help immediately. Am I going to see them back in my office? Probably not. If they connect with the other resources that are available to them, they'll sustain their housing. They'll be able to provide food. There's so many things that go along with it. And so it's not just housing, right? Like
it's financial stability, right? Right. Learning how to use what resources are available in the best way. Around housing, how is inventory?
Awful.
Good question.
Awful. That's the only word that I can use for it. I can say, specifically to Southwood County, we did have a landlord this year that had 100 rental properties. They made the choice to sell their rental properties this year. So their leases are terminating or ending, they're selling those properties for profit, right? You can make a huge profit by selling your properties. They probably purchased them 20 to 30 years ago for pennies on the dollar. They can make a significant profit by selling them now. We're down almost 100 rental properties just in the city of Wisconsin Rapids alone. People are not buying them and turning them back into rental properties. They're turning them into single family homes.
Because that's another inventory shortage, right? But that doesn't help the work you're doing. But I do think that comes up is, what we can find isn't affordable.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So if what is average rent? Would you say?
I would say a one-bedroom average rent is $600. Two bedrooms are $800+. And if you're looking for a three-bedroom, you're at $1,000 plus per month.
And then there's the security deposit that goes along with that. And just the everyday startup to get internet, to get anything else, let alone just that on the surface, that's daunting. Let alone all that other stuff that comes with life.
Yeah, I mean, when we're looking at budgeting and talking about financial stability, we always say, rent should be no more than 40% of your income. If rent is more than 40% of your income, you're going to struggle to pay your rent on an ongoing basis, likely going to need assistance more than one time. So how do we look at the budget as a whole, right? That's the other thing United Way funding can help with. When you're talking about a security deposit and first month's rent, most people are not going to be able to come up with that significant amount of money up front. If you're talking about the ALIS population, if you're talking about those in poverty, you're talking about those that are living paycheck to paycheck every day. There's no way that they're going to be able to come up with that. United Way funding allows us to help with first month's rent. We don't pay security deposits out of that funding because that security deposit goes back to the family, but we can help with that first month's rent and getting them into housing. That's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there, and it's a hard question to ask, but are there things that are more in need than others when it comes to what you're doing, what you're looking for, Katie, what we're looking for?
There's so many things, right? We need housing. We need more housing. We need more affordable housing. I will say, we have worked with a couple landlords. We just finished 6 properties with a landlord, not specific to us, but they're, through their business. But they built them with simple materials. So not granite countertops, not high-end cabinets, not anything. They are 2- and 3-bedroom units, brand new, just built, come with an attached garage, $700 a month. That's super cost effective for a family. And not something that we see, but they listened when we said, this is a problem that we have. We don't need apartments that are $1,200 a month. We don't need, can you help us with this? And they were happy to invest and they listened. And I think
that's nice. Yeah. And like you said, the high end finishes aren't the priority. The priority is somewhere safe and warm and clean and
Right. So, I mean, those are daily conversations that we have, right? You have to look at the big picture. To have housing, we have to have landlords. So where do those conversations start? I mean, I attend landlord association meetings. I speak with our landlords almost on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. It's ongoing conversation of this is what the need is. You know, I talked a little bit about rental assistance money. WERA is going to go away. It's going to end. When that ends, we're going to be in a huge crisis for rental assistance. United Way funding has accountability, right? If somebody loses employment, you need to obtain new employment before we're going to pay your rent. Mm-hmm. If somebody, you know, had past due medical bills or had mechanical repairs, or provide proof of that. Like, let's look at that. What is that instability? It's going to take a ton of case management and dollars to get people back on track of accountability. And so when we're talking in the next year, I mean, once this funding ends, when we're talking in the next year, the need is going to be drastically high. I mean, we're allowed for 18 months worth of rental assistance. So you're talking households that have received 18 months worth of their rent paid. And now that's not going to be there anymore. And there's no plan or movement to make that sustainable.
And if they had income during that time, I mean, there's it's pretty likely that they used that on something, those mm-hmm. things that you talked about, you know, the medical bills, the car mm-hmm. repairs, all of those things. But still, we all know through our own budgeting as individuals that, you know, you have so much for housing, or you should, you know, have planned so much for housing, so much for utilities. And so if that hasn't been a practice for 18 months, getting folks back to that practice and how to be successful potentially could be a challenge for the community.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It'll be a huge challenge. And then those that, you know, then we're likely to see a high number of evictions, I would imagine, unfortunately. And really, the goal is to keep people housed. We never want to see anybody get evicted. We don't want to see anybody end up in homelessness. Statistics show that those that did not have a substance abuse issue prior to entering into shelter are likely to leave shelter with a substance abuse issue. And that's like 90%. It's a super high statistic. And the reason that is because when people go to shelter, they feel that they've been done wrong by their family. They've been done wrong by their friends. They've lost that support system, right? And they feel alone. And so they enter into shelter, and shelter becomes their family and becomes their friends. And they start doing the things that their family and friends are doing. And it's an evil cycle, right? I mean, our shelters work so hard, but you are going to have that population that doesn't want help, right? Mm-hmm. That is totally content with being homeless and receiving the services that they receive that way, where you have somebody who runs into hard times and isn't able to fix that, and then they end up in shelter, which is a downhill spiral. So it's always the goal to keep people housed. What can we do to make sure that people are staying in their housing, that they're able to afford their housing, you know, and what does that look like, right? Like, maybe you have to work two jobs. I mean, I remember as a child, my mom worked three jobs to support us, right? But that's not the stigma of society. And so it's us having those conversations with households to say, okay, well, if this is what you want, this is what we need to do.
This is the process of how we be successful, right? Or even, you know, talking about evictions, if somebody gets to that point where they actually have an eviction on their record, so to speak, then that also follows them around and prevents them from being successful, you know, potentially having successful relationships with landlords in the future. So whatever we can do as a community, you know, United Way as a funder, mm-hmm. You know, North Central CAP as a program provider, Katie as a case, you know, as a case manager on this, you know, whatever that we can do to help prevent that and keep people in their housing, I think is really important and definitely a priority.
It seems like such a difficult, daunting situation, Katie. And I imagine with this job, 5 years doing it Monday through Friday, all of that and everything, it can weigh on you. What are how often or what are some examples? You don't have to be specific details and family names, anything like that, of course, but of seeing the other side of this, of seeing people come out of this situation and they are on their feet. They are doing okay. Do you get to see much of that?
We say a lot of that, good, to be 100% honest. And that's what keeps you doing what you're doing every single day, right? Like, yes, you're going to have the hard times. Yes, you're going to have the good times. I mean, but really the good outweighs the bad. You know, I mean, you can watch somebody who's a single parent who, you know, just had a baby and they're trying to figure out life with a baby and a job and daycare and housing and all of those things. And you can watch them flourish, right? You can watch them come home with their newborn, nurture their newborn, you know, get things figured out, get them into daycare, go back to work, and they come in and they're thriving, right? Like, they come in and they're like, thank you for, you know, getting me connected to this and getting, you're like, how can I give back? When you say, when somebody gets a hand up, they're more likely to want to invest in their community. Mm-hmm. They want to give back. They want to know how they can help. And we can connect them, you know, mm-hmm. through United Way volunteering, through any church volunteers, through any of those things that they are invested in wanting to do. We can be that connection. And so when we say we're housing, we're definitely not just housing. That's the big picture of what mm-hmm. we do, right? But there's so much more that goes into housing. And I think that that's some part, like, where people don't understand.
Greatly appreciate the time and what you do for our community. Katie, you and the staff over there, say hi to them for us, please. If people do have follow-up questions, want to know more maybe about some of the things you've touched on today, how can they reach you?
They can call the office, 715-424-2581, and Katie. I'm the only one in our office that does my job. So if you call with housing, you're going to get me.
Probably should.
Even if you ask for Joe, you're getting Katie. You're getting Katie.
Right.
We do appreciate you, Katie. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We will take a break. We'll get to Luca. Come back and we'll get into Misty's mini birthday and anniversary club. How's that sound, Terry?
We'll come back
and do that. We have more coming up with our United Way Radiothon here at WFHR, locally grown radio. That's right. It's time for Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club, everybody. Treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank them for us. Wish them a good day from all of us at WFHR. Terry, we're going to do a bit of an abbreviated version of our Misty's Club here.
All right.
We do have two names on the list, so I need a one or a two.
One.
All right. There we go. That gives us our qualifier. We can go right ahead and wish Billy West a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Billy.
Enjoy your day, Bill. Hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifier today, Kate Nordstrom.
Happy birthday, Kate.
Kate, enjoy your day. I believe Kate is in Minnesota now, I believe, doing great work up there, still in the arts and all that, just like she was in sixth grade. Just amazing human being. One of the more talented people I've ever seen in my life, too, Kate, is an incredible person. Wishing you a great birthday, Kate. Enjoy your day. And that's going to do it. I don't think we need to get into celebrity birthdays necessarily or anything
today,
like that.
You know, when I'm here, the list is always not so great anyway.
To your point, I've got a couple decent ones. Pete Davidson, Maggie Gyllenhaal are celebrating birthdays. Brian Adams, but not the Brian Adams, like the guy from Color Me Bad, that guy, different one. So you're right. Not a huge list today. Not a huge list. So we can keep moving. But it does give us an opportunity, Terry, to kind of do something else since we have a little time to kill here. We want to go ahead and reach out to all of you and say, hey, how'd you like a free turkey?
I'd like a free turkey. Oh, huh? I can't play?
Nope, can't play though, Terry. Nope, you're too close to us. You're too close. But what we've been doing, thanks to our friends at Quality Foods IGA, is playing some turkey trivia. We've been grabbing qualifiers every day over the last week. We're going to continue to do it through the week here.
I was kind of laughing at your struggle yesterday. I'm just saying.
Yes.
You specifically, I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I trust me, at this point, as long as we've been doing this together, anytime I mess up on the air or I'm struggling, one of the very first thoughts I have is, I'm not going to hear the end of this. Oh, I'm going to hear about this.
Well, it just was about cook. I mean, it's not a big deal. You don't have to be a cook. That's okay.
I do like cooking. I'm just not very smart at it. I'm not very good
Fair
at
enough.
It.
Fair enough. But as long as you do what someone asks you to do,
that I'm great at. You point me in the direction, I can do it. Yeah.
Great help in the kitchen. That's perfect. Yes. All right. So we're doing a trivia question.
Yes. Get ready to call 424-2600 and answer this question for us. You'll do that on the air. We appreciate it. And you'll be an instant qualifier for the turkey trivia, for the turkey giveaway, which is a 14 to 18 pound turkey being given away by our good friends over at Quality Foods.
That sounds awesome.
So here's your question. Get ready to call up 424-2600. What is the name of the amino acid in turkey that supposedly makes you sleepy? What is the name of the amino acid in turkey that supposedly makes you sleepy? Yep. Terry's already had some. 424-2600. That is the number to call. Call up 424-2600. I got so many different things running through my head. Where I grew up in the neighborhood I grew up in, very urban, very, you know, eclectic, different families. We had a family we were very close to, an African-American family, and the Johnsons. My first best friend, Alfredo, there. And they used to talk about the itis. And that's what they would call it, is the itis. That is not the technical term of it, but I will take that. If you want to call up and say it's the itis, I'll take that.
You know, after everyone eats their huge Thanksgiving dinner, and then, you know, you do fight for your spot on the couch because you want to rest, but is it because of this, or is it because you literally just ate too much? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, you're full, you get all snuggled in. All right, people, so give us a call. Starts with a T. How about that?
There you go.
I'll start dropping hints.
Setting it up for them, too. Nicely done. 424-2600. Call up. Get yourself a chance to qualify for this free turkey given away by our friends at Quality Foods, IGA. We'll give this another minute. Again, the question, what is the name of the amino acid in turkey that supposedly makes you sleepy? Let's go ahead and see if we have ourselves a qualifier. Good morning. What's your answer?
Tryptophan.
That's close enough. Yeah, nicely done. Nicely Woo! Done. Yes. Nicely done. Tryptophan is what it is. And the only reason I know that is because it's right in front of me. Otherwise, I would have called it the itis or something like that. Well done. Can you get your first name?
Jody.
Thank you so much for listening and playing along, Jody. We appreciate that. What town are you calling us from?
Babcock.
All right, Babcock. Nice. We haven't had somebody from Babcock in a while. That's awesome. Thank you for that, Jody. And did you feel confident about that answer? I know, maybe not saying the word, but what it actually was. You felt like you knew that pretty good.
I did. I did have to look it up, but I knew the answer from before. I just couldn't remember the name of it.
Very cool. Jody, really appreciate you hanging out with us and joining us. You're our most recent qualifier for the turkey trivia that Quality Foods is doing. You're going to get a chance to maybe win this 14 to 18 pound bird. We appreciate the time, Jody. If you don't mind, hang on the line. I'm going to get a little information from you, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was awesome.
That was great. Yes, tryptophan. Now, fun fact, chickens actually have more tryptophan than turkeys do. Kind of interesting. We will go ahead and talk to
Jody. So every time you eat chicken, a nap is okay. I'm having chicken for lunch.
Really? Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, we really just helped you out, Terry. That's all we did right there. We are going to go ahead and take a break. We'll talk to Jody. But one more time, a big shout out to our friends at Quality Foods IGA. And, of course, a big thank you to our friends at Misty's Menu. Go ahead and treat yourself. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Sit back, take a listen to Melissa's news, and then go ahead and head on over to Misty's and treat yourself. We'll be back with more with the United Way Radiothon here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, special day around here. It is the WFHR Radiothon featuring our friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. We have Terry John, CEO of your United Way here. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
And we are joined now by our good friend Sue Sybil from the Family Center, one of my favorite people to talk to. Good to see you, Sue.
Oh, good morning.
Appreciate you being here. We've been having some fun today bringing in different guests and talking about the ways that the United Way impacts the community, impacts these certain organizations. We're fortunate that we've been doing this a while together, Sue, and we've had you guys join us a number of times. We've talked about this quite a bit. There are aspects of this, though, that I don't think we've had the time to really dive into. And what I'd like to do is something, and I'm kind of actually cheating off of Terry's paper a little bit here, because you had a question earlier for Dale that I thought was really good, and kind of almost walking people through this process of what it is like. And certainly we don't have to get overly detailed or anything like that, but to create a little more empathy in our community, to put people in these shoes and what it's like and what it is to be in one of these difficult, if not the most difficult situation that a person can be in life. Mm-hmm. And somebody, you know, being basically, not basically, but being betrayed by somebody you love, which is often the essence about here and what the Family Center does for our community. Would you mind kind of taking us through that a little bit. Say a person, a family comes to you guys, where it starts there. Where does it go from there?
Okay. And I'm gonna focus on coming to us for shelter, since that's United Way funds for us.
Sure, yeah.
Probably our most expensive activity and most visible activity. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's just pretend, right?
Right.
I've been doing this work for about 27 years, and so I've had the honor to know many victims over time. And, you know, they are young, they are old, they are come with bags of their most precious belongings, or they come with nothing. Mm. You know, it's hard to think of what is the typical client. Mm-hmm. But the one thing they do have in common is they've all decided enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
They may have been in the relationship for a long time. It may have been the first time that there was physical violence, but they've made that decision to leave, which takes a lot of courage.
Mm-hmm.
It is also the most dangerous time, is when somebody's leaving, or after they leave, actually, more domestic violence homicides occur, either as somebody's leaving or after. So, mm-hmm. So they come to us having decided enough is enough, primarily seeking safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
And security. Our locked doors is what's very appealing to them. They also come, the other thing they all have in common is hope, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about that before. They come with hope for a better life, for something different, for themselves and or their kids. Sometimes they come in the middle of the night following an incident. Law enforcement brings them over. But most of the time, they have been thinking about this for a while. And might have actually tried to leave before, or left before and then gone back. But most of the time, we know somebody's coming.
Hmm.
So in our little pretend scenario, fortunately, we have a bed available.
Oh, okay.
sometimes we don't. And when that happens, we make sure that person has a safe place to be, whether it's a sister shelter in the area or putting them in a hotel. Less than ideal, but probably better than where they came from.
Absolutely.
So each family gets their own room. Mm-hmm. We don't double people up, and the rooms all have their own bathroom. We're kind of in the middle of an adoptive room project, so rooms are decorated differently and have different feels.
Mm.
We have two rooms done, by the way. One has a Western theme, and the other has a Paris theme. So, you know.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I like it. That's great.
There is some paperwork basically needed because of our funding. But when somebody first comes in crisis, we'll probably try to do just the basic, and then the next day do the rest of it. Make sure that they have what they need, whether it's pajamas to sleep in, shampoo. Like I said, sometimes they come with a lot of stuff. Sometimes they come with nothing. Whatever they have to meet their basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
And we let them get settled in. Generally, you know, certainly it's giving them space to breathe, heal as best they can, and feel safe. I've had conversations with kids in shelter, you know, and they talk about how quiet it is there. Mm. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, other kids jumping off the couch. And,
but there's probably no yelling.
Phones are ringing. You know, quiet. That took me a long time to get my brain around it. And it's just that. It is not scary noise.
It's
right?
Different noise. Mm-hmm. Happy
different noise.
Yeah.
Happy noise. Yeah. That kind of stuff. So kids, too, kind of go through an adjustment period when they come in, let's say. And some of them are afraid, especially of other males. And we shelter men and women on site. And so sometimes, you know, that's a struggle for the kids that come in, and the adults, frankly. so we give them a week or so to you know, just be and settle in and regather as a family. Mm-hmm. And then, and throughout that period, the staff is there 24 hours a day. So, you know, should they either need shampoo or, you know, need something practical, mm-hmm. Or need somebody to talk to, somebody's there for them. So, you know, I think as I said, they come to us with hope, and that's where hope gets delivered.
Right.
Right.
So what you mentioned the amount of time you've been doing this and everything. I hope that there's always been some support from the community. But I will say that while not doing it and being a part of things at the Family Center as long as you certainly, I've noticed in just the short time I've been with the Family Center as far as being on the board and everything, the support that this community gives. Mm-hmm. Dollars mm-hmm. and cents, things that people volunteer, what the United Way does, all of that means a lot more than we could word. But it also means so much more. It means so much to have knowing that the sheriff's department has our back, that mm-hmm. the police department is mm-hmm. there, that the rafters are there, that all these different organizations, all these different people are supporting this cause, supporting this, mm-hmm. showing, being on the right side of history, if I can go ahead and say that. Having the United Way having your back like that too, it not only speaks to, it hopefully makes your guys' job, the staff over there, feel a little better, like mm-hmm. you've got some support. You're not just in this alone. But not to take lightly of what you guys do, maybe more importantly, these families are seeing that.
Yes,
they're seeing
absolutely.
That they are not alone, mm-hmm. not just from the support they get from the Family Center, but knowing, you know, hearing conversations like this, knowing, having this kind of information be much more common knowledge of not only that they're there for you if you need them, the Family Center, but the support that the Family Center has, that they are not alone mm-hmm. either. The more we create that society, create a community like that, right. Hopefully, the more that we bring more people out that are in these tough situations, but also kind of show where we're going as a society and more, especially to the young people of this is just not the way we treat people anymore. We're, mm-hmm. we're growing from this. This is not, there wasn't, mm-hmm. there was never a day where this was okay, but there was a day when society turned the blind eye to this.
Absolutely.
That's not going to ever happen again. Mm-hmm. We're never going back to those days. So showing all of these mm-hmm. things, certainly to those families, to that mom, that dad, whoever it is that is in the shelter, but those kids, yeah. I keep coming back to that and them seeing that, them mm-hmm. seeing that support system. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what that must mean and what it must be like going in day to day with the job. Mm-hmm. As hard as this job is for you guys, having that support system.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it does speak volumes to the families we serve and to the agency. And I think and I hope it's because people, one, understand that these are people they know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, statistics tell us just about everybody knows someone who's been a victim, and
yeah.
and they understand the dilemma and the struggle and the fact that they are a victim. You know, it is they are in this situation because a crime was committed against them. They did nothing wrong. And, you know, if we can be there for them, it's difficult for an individual like Terry, mm-hmm. you know, to help an individual victim out of the relationship. And, you know, all of the struggles that they face. And if, you know, Terry can trust us with her support,
yeah.
To do what we know is best practices in helping people, that speaks volumes. So
we'll get our break out of the way.
Okay.
We'll do that really quick, and then we'll just take you right to the top of the hour. Appreciate the time again,
yeah,
Sue.
Absolutely.
WFHR Radiothon going on with the United Way here at AM 1320, 97.5 FM WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR and our WFHR Radiothon going on right now with our friends at the United Way. Do want to let you know, we usually are joined by Quality Plus Printing on this day. We're going to have them join us tomorrow. I'm going to reach out to Phil later, have him join us tomorrow so we can have a little more time with Phil and you know, have some fun with that, and also give the time that Sue and the Family Center deserves here. So just keep that in mind. Also keep in mind, everybody, you can donate. You can be a part of this whole situation by donating. Give a call to the United Way at 715-421-0390, 421-0390. Make an investment in your community. We appreciate you doing that so very much. If you'd like your donation mentioned on the air, we can do that too.
Absolutely. So we are talking with Sue Sipple from the Family Center. And, you know, Sue, we'd like you to share, I guess, any other you know, we've kind of walked through a scenario, like if someone presents at the family center, but you know, what's happening at the family center? How's this year look? And you know, why is United Way, why are United Way grants important to your to your organization?
Absolutely. It is, we've come out of a period following COVID that brought on a lot of interesting changes.
Yeah.
Not only the struggle with keeping people, reducing their risk for COVID while they were in shelter, but, you know, the dynamic that was created by COVID with, frankly, more, maybe not more abuse, but more people calling, deciding to leave, deciding life is too short. I think certainly in the periods where the abuser was at home, whether it was during lockdowns or they were laid off from work, we know that can increase domestic violence incidents because of the access. So we had a real quiet period. We had a huge surge in people coming into shelter, kind of coupled with a new increasing barrier in terms of finding housing, affordable housing. And now I think we're seeing at least the shelter requests are still higher than they were prior to COVID, but they're settling out a little bit. They're not in that, you know, just all kinds of people that we weren't sure what to do with or where to place, and spending tons of money on hotels. That's starting to settle out. What's interesting is kind of on the other end, and this isn't United Way related, but the requests for and the number of services that people that don't come to shelter are coming in for is what's skyrocketing now.
So your wraparound, your support, extra supports that are
legal
offered.
Legal advocacy, groups, the group, we had to create a second group. You know, what does that say to me? I don't know.
Right. Yeah,
but this is the is at this point.
But kind of programmatically, right? Like it's saving shelter costs, assuming that they're somewhere safe, which we don't know. But but then also, I mean, I think that they're reaching out and saying, here's what I do need help with is pretty
they're
important.
They're coming earlier. You know, we saw the kind of the pause and then the surge for those from those people that waited. Yeah. Now I think people are still saying life's too short. They're coming earlier. But also a number of those wraparound services, as you describe them, are post-shelter. You know, people continue to come for support with their legal issue or support through support group, you know, help finding XYZ.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
It's a wonderful thing. And it also adds more evidence to that what you guys are doing over there not only matters, but you're doing it well. People don't continue to come back to anything in life if they're not getting the help they need, or they don't consider it a resource, or the support isn't there. So again, a big shout out to you guys and the staff over there, the work you're doing, but also appreciate that insight, because I don't think that any of us as just outsiders looking in would understand that or see that need. And I understand, you know, the people that we bring in today, the subjects we're covering, these seem big, they seem huge, and it can oftentimes seem daunting when you look at the world and you take a bigger picture perspective. Imagine what it'd be like without the United Way. Imagine what it'd be like without being in a community like ours that is so helpful. All these different people we bring in, different topics we're focusing on, and every one of them has said the same thing. We have such a giving community. We have such a supportive community. We're fortunate with all those things. But it doesn't mean that there isn't still work to be done. And so, you know, when we're talking about this stuff, you mentioned the word hope before, Sue. I feel that that's part of my job, is to dust off the hope every once in a while and make sure that everybody sees, hey, there's a better day. There's a better day right around the corner. It's why I start every show. It's a new day. It truly is. And you are what you can make it what you want of it. You guys do so much of that over there. There's not many organizations that we ask to create hope, that have to continue hope. So it's another thing that is on your guys' shoulders over there. And when it comes to that, Sue, like over the years of doing this, How do you reach somebody with that? That person that has hit so rock bottom, that is in such a peril when it comes to that. How do you dust that hope off and show them, hey, hope still exists?
Yeah, well, I think certainly helping connect them to community resources, and we work well with our other partners in the community. You know, we have connections.
Right? I know a guy.
But I think, you know, I think internally, it is people lose hope because they have lost that love and support of, you know, a significant person. Sometimes the abuser has isolated them as well, so mm-hmm. they don't really have any support systems. And sometimes, you know, family has been cut off mm-hmm. from them. And so it's a couple things, helping them develop those support systems and see, yes, there are people that care. There are people that will be nice to you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is a different way than what you've been living. And I think that starts the fire of hope. I think the confidence, we know abusers have all the control and they have taken away the person's, you know, ability to make decisions, as I said, isolate them. Some of the things that I've heard victims describe are just unbelievable, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. That someone has done to keep that person under their thumb or in their control. And so, you know, restoring that sense in them, and this is a tough one, you know, because there's been a long time where it's been taken away and their yeah. confidence has been undermined, but helping them by even helping them make simple choices and see that, I do have a choice in that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I tell the staff when we hire them, you know, it's even instead of going to the basement and when they need shampoo, grabbing a bottle of shampoo and bringing it up, bring up a couple and let them pick. You know, it's an inconsequential yeah. decision. Right. And yet, you know, that feeling of, I can pick.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. That's,
you know,
cool.
Adds fuel to that fire, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And they begin to feel more in control of their life and then, you know, see that, okay, this doesn't have to be this way. I can do something about it. I have the power in me. I will be okay. And, you know, that's kind of where it goes. We track hope, actually. We ask people as they leave shelter and after they've engaged with their services if they're more hopeful about their future, because we know that's an indicator of success. And, you know, I didn't bring that number, but it's somewhere, you know, 80, 90% of the people when they're surveyed say, yes, they're more hopeful about their future. So,
We greatly appreciate what you and your staff do for the community. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Let us know if you need anything. And do want to let the audience know that if you need the Family Center, they are there for you. 715-421-1511. That is 421-1511. That is their 24/7 line. You can call if you need it. And people need to get in touch with you specifically. Sue, is there a way to do that? Is there?
They can call that
call
line.
That
the
number.
Business line is 1559-421-1559. But I just want to move to you, James, for all the support you've been to the Family Center and certainly the United Way. These days, funding is a struggle.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate the United Way.
And so when you make a donation to United Way, you can contribute to a specific program area, like the last two programs we heard from was housing, you know, one being eviction prevention, one being shelter. And so two different aspects, but you certainly can do that. Or when you donate, you're contributing to all 29 programs that United Way helps to fund. And so that's kind of the beauty of that gift, that you can spread it out throughout the community and make an even greater impact. And you can do that by dialing 715-421-0390.
Thanks again for the time,
Sue. Thank you.
We'll talk again real soon.
Take care.
We'll go to CBS News and we'll come back at one more hour of the United Way, hour and a half of the United Way Radiothon coming up here at WFHR.